This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
The premiums delivered. It was another game week from FPL. I'm going to do this again. This is a poor intro.
I liked it.
Thanks, mate. Triple Captain boys have got smiles on their faces. It's green arrows all round. Welcome to another episode of Triple Captain. Yes, hello everyone. We are Triple Captain. We're an FPL podcast with the aim of getting you to the top of your mini league. I'm Luke Jurdy. I'm your co-host. I'm at Luke Jurdy on Twitter. And we are at FPL Triple Cap on Twitter and Instagram. We've also got a Discord channel, which is nice and lively, full of people getting advice for their teams. The link to join that is in our Twitter bio, as is all our mini league codes. And I'm without Rich today. I always say I'm joined, as always, by my co-host Rich Wolfenden, but I'm not joined by him this week. He is on a walking holiday in Northumberland with his friends.
Is he really?
He is.
I thought you were going to be like, oh yeah, he's got some important Radio X work to do.
No.
He's off here with TalkSport.
No.
Champions League. No, on a walking holiday. Okay.
So as we said last week, that Ben was a bit, he was fine with it, but I sensed an edge in his voice about not being able to talk as much this season. So he's allowed to talk as much as he wants today. Producer Ben is my co-host for today. How are you doing, mate?
Very good, mate. Even better, because I am in the top 1,000 of Aston Villa fans in FPL.
Oh, God. We should have been recording that. Then. My jaw dropped then when I thought that you were top one guy.
I'm not bad, though. Overall rank, 65,000.
Excellent.
So 65,693 overall rank. So firmly in the top 100K.
Okay, so
delighted with that.
Give me three things. Obviously, you can't necessarily stick to them, but give me three things that you're going to try and stick to keep that rank, because that is such a good rank.
I'm going to be sensible.
Good.
I'm not going to... But as I said that, I've got a bit of a harebrained plan for this week.
Okay.
Which I'll run you through shortly. I am going to look at form, not necessarily fixtures, because we've already seen it this season. Some fixtures haven't quite gone the way you'd think they'd go. There's also some players in form. I think we should definitely talk about Everton in Rich's absence. That game last night was an absolute corker. And I'm going to make sure that I check it every single day. And this is a note for my girlfriend, Jem. I'm going to be on Twitter a lot looking at price rises and price drops because, Jem, it's really important that you do your research when it comes to it's not just a stupid game, babe. It's not. It's I want to be in the top 10k by the end of this season. So that's my aim.
Top 10k, I think that has to be an aim, particularly when you're 65k after four game weeks. It's got to be all about consolidating that position for the next few game weeks. Yeah. Choosing when to play. You didn't go early. You didn't play your wild card early, which I'm glad you didn't, because in seasons gone by, you'd have probably pulled that trigger. You've held
Definitely.
Off. You've made the right move so far. You went without Bruno, and that's proved to be the right decision over the first four game weeks. Great stuff. Yeah, just brilliant work, mate. I'm very pleased that you're in that position. So do a very brief rundown of your game week with your points this week.
78 points, but a -4 because I brought in Ronaldo, captained him, 26 points from him. Can you believe that Dominic Calvert-Lewin outscored Antonio this week? He wasn't even in the squad,
no.
Let alone on the pitch. Antonio with a -1, but a lot of people, in fact, 40.8% of people have got Antonio and would have started him and would have had that -1 as well. Trent Alexander-Arnold, been a bit of debate around him. He's a big scorer for me this week with 12 points. I did bring in Demarai Gray. He got his goal, third goal in three games for Everton. So he ended up on 7 points. Mo Salah, Grealish, Greenwood, White from Arsenal, Shaw and Sanchez in my goal. Tony up front with a 2, but I'm keeping Tony, you know. So there you go. How about you? How was your game week?
Great. Yes, I got 72, -4. with his, so it was 68 total. I did the same as you. I brought Ronaldo in. I brought Jota in for Bruno and Ronaldo in for Ings. And obviously Jota was so unlucky not to get more points than he did. Got some stats on him for later. But yeah, that Liverpool game was a bit of a frustrating watch as a Jota owner. But all good. Nice green arrow. I'm close to 500k. And I think I'm about 600k. I was close to 500k. And then obviously that Damari Gray goal dropped my rank a little bit last night. But happy with that. Green arrow up about 250,000 places. So can't complain. And I'm pretty happy with where my team's at. I'll go into much more detail on my team on the extra pod. So I think let's focus on our usual new way of doing things. Who to buy, who to sell, and who to captain. And I think where better place to start than with Calvert-Lewin owners and Antonio owners. I really feel for those that on their wild card. I mean, I did it on fan team, actually. I've got Calvert-Lewin, Antonio and Ronaldo as my front three. And Rafa Benitez said yesterday that Calvert-Lewin is likely to be out for a few weeks, which is really disappointing for new owners. And obviously Antonio suspended for the next game. So do you sell either of them? Do you sell both if you've got free transfers? What would your strategy be, Ben? Have you got both?
No, I've got Antonio. Calvert-Lewin's had this toe thing for a few weeks and he's been playing through it. And obviously now it's got to the point where he can't do that anymore. So if I own DCL, I'd be saying move him out. I mean, lots of people are saying the obvious move is to Bamford. Actually, watching Leeds, I'm not sure that Bamford's looking that great. So I'm not sure who I'd bring in for DCL at this point, but I think get rid of him but keep Antonio. I mean, a lot of people will be moving Antonio out. I'm happy to put him on my bench. I actually think I might take a -4 this week to strengthen up my bench a little bit, just in case I'm looking at my team and I think a few people might not start, so I'm thinking of taking a -4. I know I said I wasn't going to take as many hits this season, but this is these kind of hits where I think it's strategy hits. It's not just I want that player hits, it's a strategy. I want to keep Antonio. I think his ownership will drop. He's currently on 40.8. That has dropped by a couple of percent. So people haven't got rid of him en masse yet, but I get the feeling that people will.
So what are you thinking of doing? You're thinking of a -4 to take out who?
So I've got Amati and Tsimikas on my bench. And right. I've also got Grealish. And I've just got this feeling that Grealish isn't going to start this week. I know he's played 90 minutes of every game. And I know that Pep Roulette hasn't been as much of a thing this season, but I think it's going to start happening, and for some reason I've just got this feeling that Grealish might start on the bench for a few, and that he's played every minute so far, and I just don't think he's going to carry on playing every minute. So I'm thinking of freeing up some money with Grealish basically to bring in, and we'll move on to who to bring in, but Jota for me. I like watching that Liverpool game, it was so uncomfortable watching that game as a non-Jota owner. So I'm thinking basically moving Grealish to Jota and then Tsimikas to, I think, a Wolves defender. I mean, just because I know that I look at my team and, like, is Greenwood going to definitely start? I've just got a few question marks.
Yeah, I think with Greenwood, I think this will be a good question to answer for everybody, because, well, not for everybody, but a lot of people still own Greenwood. I think keep an eye on United's lineup tonight for the Champions League game. They're playing playing Young Boys tonight. So if Greenwood gets a rest, then he'll definitely start. And I wouldn't be surprised if Jesse Lingard got a chance tonight against Young Boys.
He looks great, to be fair.
He was class when he came on. His goal was just so good. So I'd just keep an eye on that before you make any moves. Keep an eye on the lineup tonight. Keep an eye on City's lineup as well for Grealish. Because obviously, if Grealish gets a rest in the Champions League, you know that he's probably going to play. I really wouldn't get rid of him before a fixture like they've got Southampton at home, haven't they? I mean, that's a really good fixture for City. But I know what you mean about Jota as well. In terms of, Antonio and Calvert-Lewin, I think if I owned them both, I would definitely sell Calvert-Lewin. I'm thinking myself of, I don't own Calvert-Lewin, I own Antonio, but I do want to get rid of Ivan Toney. I think his fixtures aren't great. Wolves look really solid at the back, and Toney plays them away from home next. I can't see Brentford scoring in that game against Wolves. So do I bench Antonio and get rid of Toney? Because, I mean, obviously we don't want DCL to be injured. We never want a football player to be injured. But the good thing about DCL being injured is it takes that easy option of switching Antonio to DCL out of our hands and might make a move benching Antonio a little bit easier and getting rid of someone like Tony. Bamford isn't as bad an option as you might think. I know Leeds haven't impressed so far, but in terms of he's had 11 shots so far, which is level with Calvert-Lewin, although Calvert-Lewin's obviously played a game less. So he's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Bamford's 6th out of the strikers for shots. Only 3 shots on target, which is doesn't even put him in the top 10, which is a little bit disappointing there. So if he's got to improve his finishing, he's had 10 shots in the box, which is pretty good. That's again, that's 5th for all strikers. 2 big chances, pretty good, and an XG of 1.38, which because of Leeds' fixtures, I don't think that's too bad. And I think the points will come from Bamford. I also think the points will come from Rafinha. All this second season syndrome stuff for Leeds may be a thing, but we can't really judge them when they've played Man United. They had a tricky game against Burnley, which normally they should have been better against Burnley, let's be honest. And in the other game against Everton, they drew 2-2. So it's, I think we should wait on Leeds, and the fixture run that they're going into is really, really nice. So I think Bamford's a good replacement if you're getting rid of Calvert-Lewin. Let's talk about Wolves and Jimenez.
Yeah, go for it. I mean, we talked last week how we preferred the defensive options to attacking ones at Wolves.
Yeah, I mean, I can get to Jimenez in, so I've got a bit of money in the bank. I can get to Jimenez in one move from Ivan Toney. And that, to me, is a really nice upgrade on Ivan Toney to get to Raul Jimenez. I just think surely the goals will come. I mean, he's created the most chances out of all forwards. He's created 12 chances so far in 4 games, and he's had 13 shots, 12 of those in the box. The difference with Jimenez, he's only had 1 shot on target. So he's got to start improving his finishing, like Wolves as a collective have to improve their finishing. It's one of those things with Jimenez. It's like, when you're looking at the roulette table and it's been 5 reds in a row, you'll be tempted to bet on black next. And it's the same with someone like Jimenez. He's a proven striker. I know he's had his injury. Surely the floodgates are going to open at some point, aren't they? He's only 2nd, really, behind Antonio for all the forwards in the game.
You look at, like, I've obviously watched every minute of Villa this year so far. Ollie Watkins is, I bet he's well up there in terms of the stats for shots. But his finishing just isn't.
Yeah, for game week four, he is. Yeah, definitely had 6 shots. Yeah. Ollie Watkins, which was top, joint top, yeah, with everybody apart from Mane, of course, who had 10 shots against Leeds.
Well, yeah,
unbelievable. But yeah, go on.
But as a Villa fan, like, we need Ollie Watkins to get his shooting boots on now. Like, last season was his kind of, it's his first season in the Premier League. He shows lots of promise. He's got lots of great movement. Da, da, da. This is why I know it sounds like a really stupid, simple point, but if you're going to bring a player in, you've got to watch at least match of the day. You've got to watch them before you bring them in. You can't just bring in players on stats. And actually, that leads me on someone that I would, I'm not going to like strongly recommend him because he hasn't had the minutes yet. But did you see that there was a striker who played 6 minutes of game week 4 and got 12 points? This was 6 minutes, 1 point, a goal, 8 points, sorry, 2 goals, 8 points, and bonus of 3. What an unbelievable start for Edouard at Crystal Palace. Unbelievable. Did you watch it?
Yes, I did. It was a brilliant game to watch. And again, I'll go into more detail on my thoughts of the game itself on the extra episode. But yeah, I mean, let's talk Palace, because Gallagher is also massively on my radar. But let's focus on Edouard first. Obviously, he's got to start. He's got to start games. He's not going to do that every time he comes off the bench. It was phenomenal. His finishing was great. I can't see why Vieira wouldn't chuck him straight in after that. His finishing is clearly better than Benteke.
Definitely.
His record, by the way, for Celtic, he got 85 goals in 4 seasons for them, and he was the top scorer in the SPL in his last 2 seasons there. So he's got the pedigree, and he's playing for a team like Celtic. Obviously, the Scottish League isn't quite up there with the Premier League, but his finishing looks to be top notch. So he's definitely on my watch list. I just wouldn't bring him in yet. Palace's fixtures are a little bit dodgy, but he could be one of those players, couldn't he, where you get ahead of the curve with him and get him in before a hot streak.
I think so. So they've got Liverpool at Anfield for the next game, which is tough. But then they've got Brighton, Leicester, Arsenal, Newcastle, Man City on the 30th of October, Wolves, Burnley, Villa, Leeds. I quite fancy Crystal Palace in some of them. Like, Benteke is not going to be starting for Crystal Palace for much longer while Edouard is in that kind of form. So when I said earlier that I didn't know who I'd pick instead of Antonio, I'm thinking I want to bring him in.
Yeah, it's not a bad shout, but you've got to... I mean, if he starts against Liverpool, then you've got that nice run of fixtures after that, just to watch him for a bit longer, because it could have been, you know, a fluky start for all we know. But he's got the pedigree and he's got the consistency from playing at Celtic. And yeah, I think the future's really bright for Palace. Conor Gallagher's already gone up to 5.6. He's posted some really good numbers so far. 7 shots in the box, XG of 2.27. He's had 5 big chances, which is massive. And he's also created 2 big chances and has created 5 normal chances. 2 goals and 2 assists so far. For 5.6 million... I mean, he's massively, massively high on my watch list now. And I think you can afford to not bring him in before the Liverpool game. But we're talking about, owning 2 or 3 premiums. Gallagher could be the perfect enabler to allow for a Ronaldo, Lukaku and Salah triple up, if that's the way you wanted to go, because he's posting brilliant numbers, you know, similar stats to someone like Rafinha, who is who's a million more. I wouldn't sell Rafinha for Gallagher, but I'd certainly think about selling someone like Benrahma for Gallagher, who, you know, obviously overperformed his stats for the first few weeks, and now he's dropped off a little bit. So I think Gallagher's a great option, and yeah, keep an eye on Edouard. Zaha for me is too pricey because he's just got such bad discipline. He's always going to get a yellow card and be at risk of being sent off, because that's how he plays. He's fiery, great to watch, great as a Palace fan to have him in the team, but as an FPL option, I just don't like that risk of somebody getting yellow carded every game and possibly getting sent off every game. But the future's really bright for Palace. I mean, a front four of Elise, Gallagher, Zaha and Edouard looks really, really exciting for them.
Different team, isn't it? Completely different team.
Yeah, yeah. Chelsea were an interesting watch this week. I thought Villa were very unlucky not to score. Conceded 18 shots Villa had, 6 of them on target. And so are Chelsea as solid at the back as we thought? Or do you think this was a bit of an anomaly?
Villa, after we conceded that first goal, we absolutely took control of the game. And I think that says more about the Villa team than it does the Chelsea team. I mean, Lukaku is just so good. That's what we got Lukaku'd, you know. He just turned it on. And I mean, obviously we had Jed Steer between the sticks as well, which makes things slightly more difficult when you're facing one of the world's best strikers. But if I was Jed Steer, I wouldn't want to stand in the way of any of them. Bloody hell, nearly, you know, kind of shots where you end up in the back of the net yourself, along with the ball. Like the power that man's got. I'm really not interested in... The only... Golonzo is the only Chelsea asset I'm interested in, and mainly because of his attacking returns. If you ever think about Chelsea, who are the most likely goal scorers in that team? You've got Lukaku number one, probably Havertz number two, then Mason Mount fourth, I'd say, a defender. When he plays, when he starts, and it looks like he's going to be starting all the time over Chilwell. How many minutes has Chilwell got?
I don't think he's got many at all, but I just can't see Alonso. I mean, he'd have to start the next 2 or 3 games for me to be confident that he was first choice. But I think it's clearly his spot to lose, isn't it? I mean, he's played every game he started every game so far. I mean, if you started with Alonso, you're absolutely laughing at the moment, because he hasn't been rotated as much as we thought. Obviously, Christensen, a lot of people put him in, but he was on the bench this week. I just don't think you can trust Tuchel. Azpilicueta was on the bench this week as well, who used to be the kind of main option for Chelsea. I think Rudiger is probably the safest option, but I'll probably go for Reece James come game week seven, you know, if I wildcard then, in terms of a Chelsea triple up, my three would be Reece James, Rudiger and Lukaku. I do think it was a bit of an anomaly this week, and they switched up their defence, Shalabar and Silva coming in, and Azpilicueta, of course, on the bench. Callum Hudson-Odoi was the right wing back. I think they'll probably get it back to, you know, the level that they were at before, and making it really, really tough for teams, Chelsea. So I think they'd be my choices at the moment. But with Tuchel, like with Pep, you've got to always think, expect a little bit of rotation now and again. So bench is important. So just in terms of, we haven't touched on Ronaldo's debut yet. Ronaldo and Lukaku, you're happy to stick with Ronaldo over Lukaku at the moment? You're not trying to get both of them in?
I've seen teams with both of them in, some wildcard teams with both, and my God, it looks lovely.
What, it looks with, so with good. Salah as well?
With yeah, I have. Yeah, so Salah, I think it might be Olivia, who we had on a couple of weeks ago. I think she's got both. Yeah, I think she's got all three. I mean, it does mean that you're obviously kind of spreading the money a bit thin, and your defenders aren't ever... Like, I still really want Trent. I think Trent's...
Me too.
He performed so well the other day. Like, everything he puts in, it's not about the delivery, whether it will come from Trent. It's about who's on the end of it. Like, he's always going to deliver really, really, really good balls. And like, you can't really have Salah, Lukaku and Ronaldo and Trent. That just doesn't work.
Some people have got that. Some people have done it, though. But I think what happens is, look, you're not going to get a game week. This is one of those game weeks where all the premium's delivered. So Bruno scored, Salah scored, Ronaldo got two, Lukaku got two. Let's not forget, Lukaku had two shots on target this week and both of them went in. And his second goal was in the 93rd minute. If that goal hadn't gone in, we perhaps wouldn't be having the same conversation. Because at the end of the day, he's got one goal against Villa. Great. Yes, he's a premium option. But is everyone would be saying that Ronaldo was the better option right now if Lukaku hadn't scored that 93rd minute goal. Ronaldo had six shots. He was playing Newcastle. It was an easier game than against Villa. And obviously, we've only got one match of data for Ronaldo so far. So who knows? But he's Mr. Consistent, yeah? His amount of shots per game is around six. And he's been achieving those numbers for the past 10 years of his career. And what does he do? He goes and has six shots. He's Mr. Consistent. You know he's going to have around five or six shots a game. You know he's a clinical finisher. You know he's going to score goals. Lukaku is the same. So the big decision here is, do we go with three premiums? The problem with it is, I think you're relying on players like Damari Gray. And I know Damari Gray is doing well, but he's had three shots on target this season and he's scored three goals. That's not sustainable.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I bought Damari Gray in last week. And having watched the Everton game last night, he's now on my list of people to get rid of.
Yeah.
Which I know isn't very productive, but I think Damari Gray might be one of those players who's had a really good start, and I think everyone's about to load him in because he's got three goals in three games. But actually, when you look at it, I kind of want to get him out now.
It's the perfect player for the casuals, Damari Gray. They'll look at his points, they'll look at his goals, they'll bring him in, and then they'll be disappointed for three, four game weeks, and then they'll ship him out again. I'm not interested in him at all. Any player that has had three shots on target and has scored all three goals is just not sustainable for me, especially when there's someone like Gallagher out there who's the same price, who is posting fantastic numbers. He passes the eye test. He's a really, really exciting option. I just don't think there's any contest between him and Damari Gray for me. So yeah, that's my thoughts on him. But ride the wave while you can, because sometimes players go through these streaks and it's worth getting on the train while you can. I think we tried to do it with Benrahma, but that seems to have backfired as well. But his numbers were on a similar level. It was like he's overachieving, but he's playing for West Ham. They've got good fixtures. There was a bit more of an impetus to bring him in. But with Damari Gray, yeah, I'm just not interested in him.
I'd go for Decore over Gray based on that performance last night. Decore was the absolute engine room. And, you know, he also, if you didn't watch it, he did score, but it was just slightly offside, I think. But he looks on fire. Like, he was at the middle of everything.
Is it the
same? He got what? Is it 10 points last night?
Is it a similar thing though? He's created four chances and got three assists.
No, he looked great. He looked really good. Like, he was the engine room of that team and he was all over the pitch. He was spotting the passes. Like, he put the pass through for, was it? I think it was Gray's goal, actually, that just absolutely, it went past about four defenders. Just completely cut through the middle. The perfect pass. Mm. He was all over it. All over it.
Let's have a look at the, I know we'll probably finish very soon. I'm just going to do a quick comparison of the 5 million midfielders, so 5.5 to 6 million midfielders so far. We've got Traore is top for shots, along with Suchet, Gallagher. Doucouré is kind of down there. I mean, Neves and Buemo have had, and Trincão have had more shots than Doucouré. On target, Trincão is up there, Gallagher's up there, Doucouré is up there. I don't think he's a bad option looking at these stats from that price bracket. In terms of chance creation, he's not really there. He's not in the top 10 for chances created. So it's just worth having a look at things like that before making a decision. But in terms of the 5.5 million and below bracket, rather than looking at like the 6 million options, yeah, I don't think he's a bad enabler right now. I just don't think you can have two 5.5 million midfielders. I think if you have one, yeah, that's fine. But if you go with two and you're relying on Salah, Ronaldo and Lukaku to deliver every single week, you could be in trouble.
Right. Anyone else to drop?
I think that's it. I'll go into more detail again on the extra episode on watch list and people I'm looking at, and maybe talk a little bit about differentials as well. So keep your ears out for that. And yeah, I think just left to decide who we're captaining this week.
Right. Well, is it Lukaku away at Spurs? Is it Ronaldo, who's at home, isn't he?
No, he's away.
No, sorry, away to West Ham. Yeah, or is it Salah at home to Crystal Palace? That's what people are thinking about this week, I think. I think those are the three main options. And they probably, well, they will, they, of course they are, they're the three premiums. They will be the three main options.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I think this week, this season, sorry, you should focus on home fixtures more than away. And although, you know, Lukaku could tear Spurs apart, we saw how bad they were against Palace, but Spurs will be at home. And I think they will make things, Nuno will make things difficult for Chelsea, or as difficult as he can. I think Salah's got the highest ceiling this week with that home fixture against Crystal Palace. I mean, if I had Sadio Mane, I'd be captaining him. I mean, he's shot himself to the top of the leaderboard for shots and those kind of stats after that 10-shot match against Leeds. It may have just been an anomaly, but he looks really, really greedy this year. So if he gets it together, you know, he could be scoring two or three goals. I also like Jota as a captain option, and I'm looking at him as a potential differential captain. But I think it would take a lot for me to go off Mo Salah. I think Spurs away and West Ham away are much trickier fixtures than Crystal Palace at home for Liverpool.
Yeah, in fact, thank you. Good. Salah, captain, armbands on. Done. Goodbye.
Yeah, I don't think we should overthink it, the captaincy. Salah's got the best fixture, and we know how good he is. Although, again, if you own Mane over Salah, then definitely captain Mane this week, because if he continues that run of form and actually gets together his finishing, then I think two or three goals are going to be incoming.
Well, it's been nice to see you today.
Very nice.
I mean, we missed Rich. He's probably on the top of a mountain somewhere on his walking holiday.
I think he's had a great
trying
week.
Trying to find 3G.
I think he's had a great game week as well, hasn't he? So I'm gutted that he's not here, because the last few he's been a bit like, oh, I'm not doing very well. And I think he said he was up about 700,000 places, so...
He's 74 points this week.
There you go. That's better.
Salah captain instead of Ronaldo. Oh, He's annoyed about that.
But yeah, I think that's about us covered. As I say, I'll have an extra Triple Captain Extra episode where I go into more detail on my thoughts about the games and the players. That will probably be with you on Thursday or Friday. Try and wait to make till after the Champions League and the European fixtures to make your transfers. And if you're not doing too well, don't worry, it's still very close. So it will only take a few good game weeks to get back up the rankings.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like Over the Influence.
Hi, we're Sharon Hartley and Freddie Bennett from Over the Influence, the alcohol-free podcast.
Where we are in the UK and across the world, drinking is a deep-rooted part of our culture. We drink to celebrate, we drink to commiserate,
and we drink for just about every other excuse in between.
We're here to have an open conversation about our experiences with alcohol and reflect honestly on how living without it has changed our lives.
So if you've ever thought about going alcohol-free or whether you're just sober curious, our podcast is here to support you on your dry journey.
Over the Influence from Sound Rebel.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.